far enough above high tide as well as safe from campers. There weren't any suitable trees available. He wondered if the campground owner would let him sink a pole in the ground. Then he looked across the water to the south and had a better idea. The painter's house, perched above the water on a treeless point with no high tides or falling limbs or campers to worry about. The whirligig was heavy, awkward to carry, and conspicuous in the extreme. He ignored the stairs he drew in the campground, decided it would be easier to take the road, and was the cause of much braking and head swiveling. The day was hot. His arm muscles burned. He shifted the contraption onto his head just as a breeze flowed over him, setting it ringing and spinning. It was engaged with the wind as if by a gear. Making his way up a hill, he listened to his respiration, his own wind surging in and out, and felt at one with the whirligig. The breeze picked up as he neared the woman's house, increasing the clatter and motion overhead. He spotted her weeding and supposed he must look like a demented relative of the Wright brothers. Nervously, he awaited her head's turning. "Oh, my," was all she could say at first. She got to her feet, jeans damp at the knees. Her agile eyes took in his strange cargo. Brent feasted on her smile of delight. "It's wonderful, truly." She stroked the chimes. "It makes me feel like a little child. And what painter in the Louvre wouldn't envy that power?"